For more information on Victory Faith Centre and to download sermons at no charge, visit www.victoryfaithcentre.org.au.
To church, and particularly when you come around the Word of God, you should expect to be receiving something from the Lord. This is very important. Let's open in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for the presence of the Spirit of God in our midst. We thank you, Lord, for your word, your standard, your wonderful giving into our lives and blessing into our lives. And Lord, we ask that this morning, as we look at this area of God's power working in us, that we understand just how that is so. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, one of the things I've noticed over the years is that there's been a complete lack of understanding of the Word of God and how that works in people's lives and how people can grow in Him even. There seems to be too many people who stay at one level, and I pray that that's not anyone here, stay at one level and not increase. And in particular, there is the increase in the knowledge of God's will, increase in the knowledge of God and His word. Let's have a look at John 7 verse 17. John 7 verse 17. Before we can talk about God's power working in us, we have to understand what has to happen in our hearts first. And what we'll meet up with this in this verse in John 7 verse 17 is that there must be a decision within each and every person if we are to go forward, if we are to grow in the Lord. And it is the Lord's will for us to grow. Ephesians 4 makes it clear that we should all grow up in Christ. So it's the Lord's will for us to grow. It's not His will for us to remain stagnant or to remain in one place or to not increase in understanding and so on. Now, if you look at John 7, verse 17, John 7, 17, it says, "If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself." So, this is Jesus speaking. So, notice the very first part, "If any man will do his will." That's talking about a willingness. A willingness. Now, there are people that with their lips they say, "Yeah, I'm willing to do God's will," but they're not convinced in their heart and their actions do not reflect that, neither do their words. But it has to start in the heart. Okay, will to do His will. You have to be willing to do God's will. You have to be willing. If you're not willing to do God's will, He can't do much with you. There's got to be an attitude of willingness within a person, willing to change when necessary. There are people who are stuck in denominations now. They're not willing to change their doctrine because they're stuck in a denomination which says things like, "Oh, speaking in tongues is wrong," or "the gifts of the Spirit in 1 Corinthians 12 were done away with after the apostles," or "the baptism of the Holy Ghost is wrong," or "that prosperity doctrine is wrong," or healing, there were special healings when Jesus was on earth, but healing is a very rare thing for today. So there's this doctrinal constraint on people because there's not that willingness to do God's will. Not willing to say, "Lord, I will respond to what you would have me to respond to. I will respond to your word that's preached," and so on. So it says here, if any man, does that cover you and me? It does, doesn't it? If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine. You see, doctrine is very important. Doctrine is structured teaching from the Word of God. It's very, very important. But how do you know God's doctrine? You've got to be willing to do his will. This is why there's such a great famine around us of people understanding the Word of God, because they're not willing. They're wanting to do their own thing. They're not willing to change. They're not willing to go forward in the Lord. They think it's okay to live like the world. They're not willing to see things the way God sees things. But if you're not willing, then you won't know. It says he shall know of the doctrine. This is if you're willing. If any man will do his will do God's will, you're willing to do God's will, I will do it. It's an action thing. He shall know of the doctrine. There'll be a knowledge that'll come into that person, because there'll be a supernatural knowledge that'll come. That knowledge that will come. Now, it's not just a natural, natural type of head knowledge. Oh yes, I know that Jesus died on the cross. Oh yes, I know he was resurrected from the dead. There's more to it than that. The knowing of the doctrine of the proper teaching from the Word of God. Notice what it says in verse 17, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. There's a lot of people who will say, I just don't know. I've taken that out of my vocabulary, I don't know. I say, no, the Lord will show me. I say that much more now. Because the Lord is showing me things. He's showing us things to come. He's showing us. If I go around saying, I don't know, I don't know, I don't know, rather than the Lord is showing me, the Lord is increasing me, the Lord is... So, you know, if you go around saying that type of thing, it's not going to help you. You say, yeah, I'll get in line with the will of God, I'm willing to do his will, then you shall know of the doctrine. You'll know of God's word, you'll know of the doctrine. So when you look around the earth today, you see the church is fractured with all types of doctrines. And denominations saying things contradicting each other. Even within groups of Christians, they're saying things contradictory. Many don't even have one Bible they can point to. So they don't even have one solid foundation. So are they knowing the doctrine? Are they willing to change? Are they willing to say, Lord, you're right. You're right. You said you'd preserve your word through history. You're correct. I'm willing to do your will. I'm willing to do your will. Let's have a look at Colossians 1. Colossians 1. Now, in Colossians 1, notice what it says, and we'll look at verse 11. We'll just look at these verses here. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire. What's he desiring? That ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will. In all wisdom and what type of understanding? Spiritual understanding. It's not just a head type of thing. Yes, I know. It's an inward spiritual understanding. Things understood spiritually. You see where things really are at. You're not just led by your sight, but you understand spiritually what is happening. There are things spiritually happening with this church, happening with this city, happening with this nation. And that's what it says here, that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will. So knowledge is very important. More specific, proper knowledge is the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the what? Knowledge of God. Strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. So here we see God's power working in us in verse 11, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power. But you'll notice there's things before that. You can't just say, oh, I'm strengthened with all might according to God's glorious power, and yet you're not willing to do his will, you're not willing to change, you're not willing to bow the knee, you're not willing to put the effort in prayer and fasting or studying of the Word of God, you're not willing to understand things, you're just wanting to go your own way. You're not going to know the doctrine. You're not going to understand the Word as you should. You're not going to have that spiritual understanding in you. Because when you have that spiritual understanding, as it says there, filled with the knowledge of his will, filled with the knowledge of his will, when you have that, as it says there, filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, when you have that, then verses 10 and 11 and onwards comes into play in your life. Verse 10, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. Well, that's talking about a faith person. Because without faith it's impossible to please God. So, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. So God wants his people strong. Strengthened with all might. And his power is available. But what is he finding? What did he find in the Old Testament? Stiff-necked, rebellious, complainers, people doing exactly the opposite to his will. The Bible talks about God trying the reins and the heart. The reins meaning the working of the heart, to see where people are at. And we can make decisions that show that we agree with God's will or show that we don't agree with God's will. You know, you can walk out of this church and do all types of things that are at variance with God's will, but that's not going to help you, and it won't help the people around you either. God wants you to walk worthy of him unto all pleasing and being fruitful. Doesn't apply just to a few, it applies to the whole of the body of Christ. So the wonderful opportunity you have here to hear the Word of God is a privilege, a great privilege. I recently had a great revelation. The revelation was very simple. The Lord gave me this revelation. The revelation was that the vast majority of people we meet up with in life are in darkness and blind. And that we are in a very privileged position to have the light of God's word in our life, to have Jesus as our light. It sounds a simple thing, but it's just such an astounding and wonderful revelation. And when I had that revelation, I thought, you know, we shouldn't be complaining or grizzling about anything. We should be, as the Bible says, always rejoicing. Because the vast majority of people aren't even at the doorstep yet. They're not even through the door, of which is Christ. They're not even near there. But you see, God wants a willing, joyful people who are not rebellious, who are not stiff-necked, but who are willing to do his will, to go forward in him. Because the simple revelation I had that the vast majority of people I meet up with in life don't have a clue about the Lord and are in darkness and blindness, and that's scriptural, is just so profound when you think about it. How, there's never a day when I'm not, almost never a minute when I'm not thinking some way about the Lord. And I can barely understand how people can go through life without God, and without his word, and without his truth in their life. And obviously without a knowledge of his will. But they do, at the moment, stumbling around in the darkness. And what a revelation that is when you think about it. So, coming back to God's power working in us, God wants us, verse 11, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power unto all patience and long-suffering with, what? Joyfulness. 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 And it also occurred to me, this is how the Christians of the past could go through such persecution, some great persecution, even to the extent of being martyred, because they understood the great privilege that they have in Christ. They understood, they had this spiritual understanding, and so they were able to be strengthened with all might. If you're strengthened with all might, you can stand a lot. And so if you're willing to do his will, you'll know the doctrine. You'll know whether it's of God or not. Okay? You've got to be willing to do his will. As I've said before, the veil needs to be lifted from many as to how the word of God works, how the spirit of God works. Needs to be lifted from many about this fact that you need to be willing to do his will, willing to change. There has to be a lot of change in the churches for it to be that glorious word-washed church that Jesus wants to present to himself. Have a look at Isaiah 1, 18 to 20. This is one we should know fairly well. But now put it into the context of what we've been talking about. Willingness. And thereby, through that willingness, God is able to do things in your life. And through you, there'll be his power will be able to work in you. And through you and around you. But you've got to be willing. There's also another aspect to it, as you'll see here. Willing to do his will. Do is obedience, isn't it? Do his will. Being filled with the knowledge of his will, willing to do it, willing to do it, willing to tithe, willing to pray, willing to get into the word, willing to give, willing to love, willing to walk by faith. Willing. Isaiah 1. Verses 18 to 20, let's look at it. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Verse 19, if ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. But if ye refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. So, I mentioned before how in the Old Testament, and not just in the Old Testament, obviously, right through the church, we're finding people refusing and rebelling and complaining. And there's nothing in blessing in that. It's only the devouring. It's only the judgment. But notice what verse 19 says, and this is a wonderful verse. If ye be willing and obedient. So you're willing to do his will, to do it. If you be willing and... it's not sufficient just to be obedient. Oh yes, I'm obedient, I'm coming to church. Yeah, but are you willing to fellowship? Are you willing to get before the Lord? Are you willing to sit under the preaching of the Word of God? Willing and obedient, what is the result? What is the result? Ye shall eat the good of the land. What happens if you don't feel willing? Well, once again, is it on the basis of feelings or on his word? You can say, I choose to be willing, Lord, in the name of Jesus. I choose that. Very, very quickly, your heart will change as you make that decision. I choose to be willing. I choose to be obedient. Even if it costs me, even if it's a bit difficult, even if it's a bit hard, I am going to be willing, I'm going to be obedient. And then we have this wonderful promise, then, because there's that word if you be willing and obedient, then you shall eat the good of the land. So good can come into your life. Blessing. That's the result. That's a promise of God we can take hold of. But the promises of God have these conditions attached to them. You've probably noticed that as you look through the Word. This is one of them. Be willing and obedient, because then God's power can work in your life. Strengthened with all might according to his glorious power. God's power can work in your life. But you've got to be willing and obedient. Willing and obedient. God said to me concerning this church, are you willing? Are you willing to diligently every week front up and do what I want? Regardless of what you see or what you feel, are you willing? It took a while, but finally I said, I'm willing. I'm willing to be obedient. It's not just the lip service. It's not just going through the motions. It's out of the heart. And it should be with all of us, out of the heart. I'm willing, willing, willing and obedient. You shall eat the good of the land. Willing and obedient. Glory to God. Let's have a look at Philippians 2. Philippians 2, verses 12 to 16. We're going over and over this because if you're not willing to do his will, there's going to be a deficiency in your Christian walk. There's going to be something that of that good of the land will be held back. If you're willing and obedient, there's going to be an opening for God's blessings to flow in and then flow out through you. Philippians 2, start from verse 12. Philippians 2, and we'll go to verse 16. Starting from verse 12. 2, verse 12 says, wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always, what? Obeyed. Some people don't think you need to be obedient in the New Testament. Well, you certainly do. You absolutely do. Absolutely. Praise the Lord. Absolutely. Always. He's talking about these people. You have always obeyed. Not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. He doesn't say work for your salvation. Let's just clarify that here. Work out your own salvation. You've got that salvation. You've got to work it out in your life. Okay? So there's that outworking in your life. There's a lot in salvation. Jesus has paid the price for you to have a full gospel salvation. A lot of people aren't taking advantage, as in receiving all that he has given. But you notice here, ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only. You know, people can obey in front of the minister and look nice, but now much more in my absence. So, you know, there's a couple of things that the ministers of God can't do and shouldn't do, really. One thing the ministers of God should do is teach and preach the word of God. And do it diligently and seek the Lord and make sure that before the Lord they're doing what God wants. But there's a couple of things that ministers can't do. We can't push people through walls. I found that out the hard way. You can't force anyone to do anything. Not that I want to. And as I said, ministers shouldn't want to do that. We can exhort, we can encourage, we can even rebuke through the word of God. But if a person isn't willing, guess what happens? It just won't happen. They might do it a little bit, you know, and then they just give up. A person is willing will do it no matter what. They'll go through it, they'll do it, they'll do it, they'll understand. So you can't force people, you can't push people through walls. I don't do that anymore. I don't push people through walls. You know? Don't do that. The other thing is, I can't walk your faith walk or your Christian walk for you. So if outside of, for example, the church service, you're doing all the wrong things and everything against faith, that's not my responsibility. You understand that, don't you? You're responsible, and every person here will be before the judgment seat of Christ. As a minister of God, as a pastor here, I'm responsible for making sure the church works properly and is structured and done according to right doctrine and according to the word of God. And of course, that means making sure that the word is preached and taught. But as I said, there's some things that we cannot do and we shouldn't do. But notice what he says in verse 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed. So these people are willing people. Not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Notice what it says in verse 13. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So what's God doing in these people? He's working in them so they're willing. Okay, their willingness is increasing, will to do his will. They've made a decision. I will do it. I'm willing to be willing. And God is working. That gives grounds for God to work in them to be willing. Can you see that? And to do of his good pleasure. So there's that twofold thing, isn't there? Willing and obedient. When you say, I'm going to be willing, and you choose that, God can do something in you. Notice it says, for it is God which worketh in you. He's working in people, not to destroy them, but to increase them, to get them stronger. Remember we read before, strengthen with all might according to his glorious power. This is what's happening. This is what's happening. The power of God working in you, both to will, okay, and to do of his good pleasure. And I think we can start to understand how people can get to the stage where persecution doesn't affect them as much as it might have in the past. Oh, that person said that nasty thing to me because I was a Christian. Now, as you're going forward in the Lord, as you're going forward in the Lord, you see, you know, I understand. These people are in darkness and blindness. You know, I've gone through a lot of that type of accusation. You may imagine that. You may understand that. But, you know, now it's much less affecting me than it used to. That to me indicates that God is working in me to both do will and to do of his good pleasure. It's good. It should be with all of us. And you can imagine people coming up to Paul the Apostle and saying, you're not of God. How could you be of God? You caused a riot over in Ephesus. How can you be of God? Do you think they'd be right? They're wrong. They'd be wrong, wouldn't they? Now, what happens if you say, yes, it couldn't possibly be true that I'm of God if I'm causing riots around the place? Can you see? It's very, very important for us to understand that when we come to the Word of God and we say, we're willing to do your will, Lord, we're willing to do your will, then we understand that God starts to work in us. God starts to work in us, and there can be all types of accusations come against you, but you'll get stronger and stronger, and you'll be able to know of the doctrine. You'll be able to know what's of God, what's coming from God, what's the truth and what's not the truth. You see the idea? You see, I pray that you're understanding this, because it's a crucial thing. And as you go forward in the Lord, you may meet up with some major persecution. You may even cause a riot because you've said something like, marriage should not be defined as different from the Bible. Oh, that can cause a riot amongst some places. You know, at one stage, that wouldn't have been a bad statement at all, but in some places it'd be a terrible statement now. Because they don't understand the Word of God and they're in blindness and darkness. But you, who understands the Word of God, you'll be able to grow, God will be able to work in you. As you're willing to do his will, you'll know of the doctrine. Have a look at Ephesians 3. Ephesians 3, verses 20 and 21. We're coming to the end of this sermon. Ephesians 3, verses 20 and 21. It says here, "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen." So God is able to do exceeding abundantly within us according to the power that worketh in us. God's power working in us will be that way as we are willing and obedient, as we bow the knee before the Lord Jesus Christ. "Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end." God wants glory in the church. He wants a people that are bowing the knee to him, understanding that the Lord Jesus Christ is working within us. He's working in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Praise the Lord. To will and to do of his good pleasure. God wants us to do his good pleasure. And his power is working in us. His power is working in us as we believe. as we partake of what he has for us. Praise the Lord. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we praise you and thank you. We thank you for your blessing and your help and your strength. We thank you, Lord, that as we will to do your will, that you show us things, that your knowledge, the knowledge of your doctrine, becomes more and more clear in us. And Father, we praise you and thank you for the direction you're leading us into through your word. Help every person here to be willing, work in us to do your will.